Jeremy, do you want to go ahead, please?
Sure. Thanks, Danny. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, morning.
Last night, Owen Morgan has called you one of England's greatest ever T20 bowlers. He's right, isn't he?
thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, I've never really thought about it from that point of view. I just tried to go about my work, go about my job on a daily basis. But I guess it's nice for the captain to say such kind words about you. Those kind of things always give you confidence, and hopefully I can keep repaying that faith.
But Chris, last night was your 50th T20 match, and that penultimate over, which went for only four, was really the game swinger, don't you think?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, that's how T20 cricket goes sometimes. I bowled two overs in the power play and then didn't bowl again until that penultimate over. But as long as your mind's in the game and you understand the nature of T20 cricket, because sometimes one over can change the game. And once you have that opportunity, you know, you just try and grab it with both hands. But to say that was solely the game swinger, I might slightly disagree, because I thought all the bowlers on the night did a brilliant job. Joff and Woody coming back into this format after such a long time. They really hit their straps and got us back into the game, really, bowling with some extreme pace through the middle. And then Rash the Wizard, he did his thing, got that big wicket of Steve Smith and Maxwell in the same over, which I thought was a big turning point, because those are two big players for them. And once they're back in the dressing room, all of a sudden you feel like you have a sniff, and luckily we were able to see it over the line.
And what would you say about TC's final over? I mean, how good was that? And did the Aussies blow it, really?
You know what, obviously, I mean, over the last few years especially, a lot of the talk obviously is about the batting lineup how phenomenal it is, really. But it was nice last night that the bowlers, in a sense, bailed the batters out, if you like. And TC's final over was brilliant. He held his nerve. He stayed as calm as possible in the situation, and he executed the plans, which was the most important thing. So I'm very happy for him.
Just finally from me, if there had been fans last night, Chris, there would have been 20,000 of them going potty. I mean, beating Australia is always special, but how much was it detracted from the fact that there were no fans there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we've all got our head around the times that we're playing in currently, and yes, we would have loved the fans to be there to experience that victory with us. But that doesn't take away from the intensity that we find out there. You know, we know we're playing against a quality side, and a side that we always obviously want to beat, and obviously we're trying to win every game. But obviously beating Australia is very, very special, and the intensity out there, you can feel the tension, and yeah, it was just as good as if 20,000 were in there screaming.
Thanks, well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Lawrence and then Matt, please.
Chris, you mentioned a couple of moments in the last few overs last night, but was there a specific moment where you guys thought, hang on, they might be starting to crack here and we can actually pull this off? Because even after Rash got those two wickets, I think they still needed 36 in five overs with seven wickets in hand, so it's still looking pretty good for them.
Yeah, definitely. Once obviously Rash got that double wicket in that over, we really, really fancied our chances. And yeah, that exact scenario I looked at as well. So 36 off five. And in my mind, I was thinking, we just need two quiet overs, really quiet overs, and we'll be right in this game. Because the ball was just starting to do a little bit. And we just started to get our length spot on as well. And the batsmen were really finding it hard to get going. And it was always going to be hard for a new batter coming in. So we knew once we just sort of stuck to the process. We didn't try and get too far ahead of ourselves. We just tried to deal with sort of an over at time, and Morgy started to juggle things really nicely. I mean, the options that he was provided, whether it be Joff, whether it be Woody, whether it be the mystery spinner Rash, and then me and TC at the end there, yeah, it was just nice that it came together nicely in the end.
Can I just ask about your own bowling? You're so good at the death, and that's become your kind of calling card in a way for England. But then you often bowl a couple of overs up front early on. Would you sometimes like to hang on to an extra over for the death, so you've got three to go at the end and leave the other poor buggers to bowl in the power play?
not really. More often than not. Three overs at the death is quite tough, because especially in international cricket and in general, the guys coming in at the end are phenomenal hitters. Yeah, you back your own ability. Yeah, you have belief in yourself. But three overs in the death can be a little bit of a stretch. But again, as I said, given the mix of bowlers we have, they have really, really good variety in the attack. No one's really too similar to the other. So that gives Morgs some good options to choose from.
Thanks.
Matt, please.
Hi, Chris. Just to follow up on what Lawrence was saying there, Owen's been talking about bowling in the power play being a big area of improvement for you as a team. Is there anything that you feel either you personally or the team should be doing better with the new ball?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I think, okay, an example in the Pakistan series, I thought we went to our variations and stuff in that power play a little bit too early. And then come the game after that, we sort of rectified it and we pushed the full length and just tried to hit the pitch nice and hard within the stumps for a bit longer. So that was an example of where we adjusted that. And similarly, again, last night, maybe we can look at how many balls are actually hitting the stumps, hitting the pads, because you are looking for wickets in that power play. Maybe we were a little bit short and we got tucked away on the leg side or on the off side, because they are two very, very good players of that back of a length, so a shorter ball. So maybe that's an area for us to look at. But in general, as I said before, the bowling performance on a whole was spot on.
And then I just wanted to ask about your arm as well, after surgery. I think, you know, you've been managing that injury for sort of 4 or 5 years, I think. Do you sort of feel like you've put that to bed now and you're at 100%?
No, it's definitely not fully put to bed. Definitely not fully at 100% either. It is a process. My bicep has been wasted for quite some time, so it will take time for it to build back up. But the surgery was the first step in allowing it to start to fire up again. So it is still a process, but I'm just grateful that I was able to make a speedy recovery and be back out there doing what I love.
Cheers.
Okay, Dean and then Simon.
Hi, CJ. Well played. Just on that injury, is it right then that had the World Cup, the T20 World Cup been this year, you might not have had it and you just kept on managing it? Has the lockdown period actually allowed you to have that surgery and give you a chance to get it right for, obviously, you know, a couple of World Cups going forward?
Yeah, that is possible. Lockdown, if you want to look at it, maybe it was a blessing in disguise. In an ideal world, you'd like to have it at the beginning of lockdown, but for obvious reasons, elective surgery and those kind of things were halted. So I had to sort of wait till a lot of the restrictions were eased and what's not before I went ahead with the decision. But it was a decision that took a lot of thought, took a lot of consulting with various guys that I trust, and the various doctors and the whole ECB medical team and staff have been brilliant and very supportive of me in that decision. And again, I'm grateful for that.
And just with your experience in the Big Bash as well, did that help? Were you coming up against guys that you've played against before, you know, Marcus and Ashton there in that 19th over? Did that kind of give you, I don't know, a bit of inside knowledge, a bit of confidence that you kind of knew how to cope with them from that time in Australia?
Yeah, maybe that has a little bit to do with it as well. That is actually benefits of playing a lot of franchise cricket, because you get to play with and against a lot of the best players in the world. And if you do come up with plans that end up working in those tournaments, it's something that you can bring into international cricket. But I think last night was more about us assessing the conditions at the time and sort of utilising the conditions that we had, because I don't know if you realise, in the last over, they didn't actually bowl one yorker because we started to, from when Joff and Woody came on, we started to really use the pitch and bang the pitch hard, nice and straight, and that's what sort of got us back into the game. So we just sort of stuck with it and executed that along the way. So I guess it's just a matter of working with the conditions you have on the day, but yeah, that does have a small part to play in it as well.
And just a final one from me. Obviously, we saw at the start of the game, Jofra presented you with your 50th T20 cap, returning the favour from his Test debut last year. Can you let us know what he said? And, you know, obviously, you had a pretty decent performance. His Test debut was pretty decent. Should you two just present each other with caps before every game?
Yeah, maybe that's something to look into for sure. But no, it was a nice surprise. I definitely wasn't expecting it. Even like my 50th cap on a whole really snuck up on me. It's only till the morning when Phil Neal, the manager, sort of rang me and reminded me about it. It really hit me. But no, Jop did say some very, very kind words. He just talked about obviously how I am around the group and what I bring to the table and things I've encouraged him to do as well. It was quite sharp, but very, very spot on. And yeah, one of those ones that will last long in my memory for sure. Nice for him to return the favour.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Dean. Simon, please.
Hi, CJ. Just sort of on the same theme, really. Jofra, a good friend of yours. He's had a sort of a bumpy ride this summer, maybe a little bit, you know, with the biosecurity breach and the rest of it. And, you know, he's had a bit of stick on social media and stuff. Where do you think he is in his sort of journey at the moment as an international cricketer? He's had some highs, but he's had some difficult times as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, If we're sticking with sort of like presenting caps and speeches, that's actually one of the things I told him when I gave him his cap, that at the minute he was on a high, but he will experience some low periods. But the character that he has and the character that I know he has, he'll always find a way of coming through it. And the biggest thing for me last night is that the amount of times Joff was smiling and he really looked like he was really enjoying himself out there last night. I started to tease him about when he touched 92 mile an hour, I wanted to see if he could touch 95. And now we were having a real good time out there, all the bowlers. And it was just nice to be at mid-off for him and watch him execute his skills and watch him do his thing. But yeah, as I said, the biggest thing for me last night was the smile he had on his face the entire night. And that was enough for me.
Yeah. Was it right that that's the only second time you've played together for England? You had a couple of T20s.
Yeah, the second time. So the first time was his T20 debut in Cardiff. And yeah, that was the second time. So yeah, hopefully plenty more to come.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go with John and then we'll finish with Nick.
Actually, I was going to ask you about the speed gun. I mean, I think Jofra was regularly in the 90s. I think Mark Wood was 95 at one stage. I mean, did it feel particularly quick, or is that quicker than they managed in the Test matches? Or do they crank up the done a bit for white ball cricket, or what do you think?
I'm not sure. I just know that whether you want to nitpick between 90 mile an hour and 95 mile an hour, they're all above 90, you know what I mean? And definitely out there, it did look quick. You only have to see The Aussie batters were reacting to the ball and how they were sort of like messing up their feet movement and stuff, you know. It is obviously a pleasure to have both of them in our team. Two guys who are bowling consistently above 90, because we then do put ourselves in a position where we can win a game like that last night, even up against it, you know. And that's, as I said before, when Woody and Joff came on in that middle period, that's where it started to change for us. They started to really come at the Aussie batsman hard and just shift the momentum back in our favour. And yeah, me and Tease were able to close it out at the end.
Yeah, it's not easy to come in and face 90 miles an hour plus under lights with a bit of reverse. It's not an easy way to start your innings, is it?
No, definitely not. Do you fancy it next game?
Well, I could do it, of course, but, you know.
100%.
Not for that these days. Yeah.
It definitely isn't easy. And that's why they are the quality that they are, you know. Again, Joff and Woody just really putting on a show last night, going through their repertoire and just running in and bowling quick and really unsettling batsmen. But that can only be a benefit for the team, because then Rash comes into his own and they have to take a risk against him because they don't feel that they were getting anything off Joff and Woody. And yeah, as I said, it's just a nice mix. But again, that's only one game. We have to try and back it up on Sunday. And hopefully wrap up the series that way.
Thanks.
And final question, Nick.
Tomorrow's game's live on BBC One. It's the first time since the 90s that England have played Australia on free-to-air TV in this country. Is it a great opportunity and a great platform for you guys to show people who don't normally watch cricket what the game can offer and round off the summer that way?
Yeah, 100%. I think it was brilliant, even from the Pakistan series when we found out that it was airing on BBC. It's a different audience. It's people who there might be people who haven't watched cricket before, and then there might be people who obviously haven't had Sky for a while and might just have to watch highlights and stuff. So the more people that we can get watching the game and involving the game, the better it is for our cricket, you know. With some of the games that are being played, you know, there have been some phenomenal games, some phenomenal contests. Last night again was sort of deemed a thriller as well. So yeah, why not let the whole world see it?
Thanks. Cheers.
Brilliant. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day, and I'll see you around.
Thanks, guys. Good to speak to you.